and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a great day today. We're getting more rain, as always, in Florida, lately at least, as always. Supposed to be raining, I think, through this week and until next week, but it's done a very good job at cooling the weather down, so that's been nice. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Absolutely wonderful, Austin. You know, the ducks need rain, the farmers need rain, the aquifer needed rain, so I'm good with the rain. And I like my 72 degrees outside right now instead of 96. I'd rather have 72.
Yeah.
Right now. But I've got a bunch of stories. We got a bunch of stuff to cover today. A lot of news came out. And by the way, the FBI warned the MI5 in January, this is going to blow your mind, that Salma Abedi was planning terror attack in UK. Just want to mention that. They've known about this since January. British intelligence agency MI5 was reportedly warned by the U.S. counterpart that Salman Abedi was planning an attack on UK soil 3 months before he blew himself up outside the Ariana Grande concert in Manchester. The FBI agents were said to have informed British officials that the 22-year-old was part of a North African, imagine that, Islamic State, imagine that, cell based in the northwest of England that was plotting an attack in the UK. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that these governments do, Austin, when they allow these quote-unquote false flags to occur. They know they're going to happen, but they use them as a means to an end. Same thing happened with Pearl Harbor with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He set up an eight-step program to force the Japanese to attack Pearl Harbor, which they did. They know this is going to happen. They want to bring martial law and everything and basically put us under the boot of tyranny. So this is what they allow to have happen. So I just thought I'd mention that as a start. What do you think about that, son? Now we actually know they were warned.
You know, we've seen this numerous times, even stuff in the United States that's what I said before, you know, whether or not they actually orchestrated it, there's always, when you start looking at a lot of this big stuff, you're foolish to think that they don't know anything about it. When you start realizing what the NSA does and what the CIA does and what all these spying surveillance, I mean, literally deep states do, that they literally dragnet the entire world for information. They listen, watch, read every single aspect of anything, you know, technology-wise throughout the entire world. And then we want to go, oh, well, they didn't have any idea. They couldn't have had any idea this was going to happen. It was totally random. When stuff like this happens, man, they knew exactly what was going to happen. And see, again, the same thing I talked about before, when it happened. They, as soon as it happened, of course, they call for a full police state. You saw the same thing when the Manchester bombing happened a couple weeks ago. They brought in 6,000 special ops military forces, machine guns all over the country, locked the country down, full-blown martial law. Then they had the London Bridge thing over there. And so all this stuff, they know what's going on with it. If they don't orchestrate it completely, they watch it happen. They watch it evolve, and they let it happen. Just like right after the Manchester thing, now they're saying, oh, we want to completely shut down the internet now. We need full policing of the internet. Nobody can be able to use it without full overwatch because we want to make sure this doesn't happen again. Every single time we see one of these terrorist activity happens, one time, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's small or big, they always, every time, they use it as an excuse to slowly chip away at our rights. The problem is with the UK and Europe over there, they've been fully disarmed, so they don't even have the chance of defending themselves with equal firepower if these guys do what they did over there in Paris 2 years ago, running around the town shooting everybody up with AK-47s. It's quite sad. That's why I keep reminding everybody and all of our listeners and all of our friends here locally, everybody I know, that everybody needs to be training on a regular basis, especially if you own weapons, if you own firearms. You need to know how to use them proficiently and regularly, train with other people so you know how to operate a firearm with other people shooting, so you don't have negligent discharges or people getting shot in the butt or worse, the back of the head in a firefight from friendly fire. Not okay. Once you start training together, you start realizing how everybody interacts and you start doing high stress skills and high stress testing. That's what everybody needs to start doing. If we have our own private patriot military here in the United States protecting us from domestic terrorism and any type of other nonsense that may occur that the government knows about that they don't want to tell us about, that will be the strongest, most effective tool in preventing and stopping these things from happening, Dad, unlike what UK has been able to do with their own citizens.
Okay, can you hear me okay? Because you're breaking up a little bit. Am I okay?
Yeah, I can hear you great.
Okay, I hear you okay now too. One thing we need to realize is this, and this is an old adage that we heard when we were kids, and it always said, never bring a knife to a gunfight. Well, I'm going to say it another way. Never bring a set of bare hands to a knife fight. Never try to defend yourself from a knife attacker with your bare hands. This is what happened over here on London Bridge. I mean, this is crazy stuff when you stop and think about it. I mean, we have a group of people basically that are being sliced and diced because they don't have the skill set to handle hand-to-hand combat against a knife. Really, that's a very advanced skill set that you learn in advanced forms of karate or jiu-jitsu. Very few people ever master those types of skill sets unless you're working on that on an ongoing basis from a child. It's very dangerous. You see it in the movies all the time and they go, oh, that looks really cool. It's not really cool. When people start slicing you with a really sharp knife and you're trying to stop it with your hands, you're going to get cut up. So here's the thing that they have to understand and that we have to understand as American citizens. Number one, always carry your concealed weapon that you have a license for wherever you go, period. If you live in a state that doesn't allow the concealed weapons permits and you cannot do that, personally, I suggest you move to another state. That's just my opinion. That's how strongly I feel about that. Number two, be aware of your situations. When you go into an environment that you're not sure of and you see people walking around, be careful. You know, when you go into a restaurant or a crowded area and you're going to sit down and have something to eat or be with your friends, always have your back to a wall. Now you think, gosh, you sound paranoid, Ted. Yeah, I know, it's because I was raising that bar. Always have your back to the wall. People can sucker punch you. They can walk, and I've had it happen to me before. They walk up behind you and they just cold cock you. And if they don't knock you out, they just orient you to a point where there's not a whole lot you can do, especially if they're using something other than their fist and they hit you with a pool stick or whatever. So be very, very careful when you sit down. Make sure you can see the door. Make sure you can see who's coming in. If you have other people sitting with you, make sure they can see also if you can't get somebody to put you next to a wall. But I always tell people, you know, I always, when I go into a restaurant, I need to have my back against the wall. And half the time it lasts me, you're a police officer, I know, I said, I'm just aware. So guys, it's just really important that you understand that. And also remember something else. You have to be prepared from a mental standpoint if something really violent starts happening around you. To get violent. Now you say, well, I don't want to get violent. Hey, I don't either. You know, that's like my younger years when I was a youth. I don't want to get violent. I don't have any interest in getting violent. But what happens is when you get violent, you start picking up chairs, you start throwing something or whatever. If you don't have a concealed weapons permit in your area and you just start throwing chairs, you start throwing knives, you start throwing tables at somebody, they learn real quick just to leave you alone and go someplace else where they're not throwing stuff at them. So you have to be in a situation where it's going to be something that you can do to defend yourself. And also, number three, you don't want to hesitate. What you don't want to do is this. If somebody pulls a knife or a gun on you, and you know they're about to use lethal force on you, you don't want to try to reason with them. This is something that you see on TV all the time that's really stupid. They go, oh, let us talk about this. There's no talking about somebody. If somebody pulls a gun on you, they have a serious intent of committing bodily harm on you or a knife. This is past talking at this point. If somebody pulls a gun and shows you and starts to wield this weapon towards you, there's no more trying to discuss this. There's no firing a warning shot as far as I'm concerned. There won't be a warning shot. I'm going to do everything I can for a center body mass shot, the first shot with my 45 with Mike Ember. And I'm going to try to do a double tap. I may try to do a triple tap because I don't want this guy getting up, coming back over and coming after me and my family. I don't want to deal with this. So you got to understand, you got to be mind prepped for that. Now you think, well, that's just really something I don't want to think about as a Christian. I don't really want to think about it either. But guys, there are a lot of bad people out there that do bad things to good people. And if you get yourself in a situation like that, you really need to be prepped and you need to be aware and you need to be ready to do something immediately. What do you think, Oz?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's what I was talking about the other day. But I mean, before these situations happen, you know, you have to be mentally and physically prepared for them. And that's the only way you can do that, guys, is to train actively in live fire scenarios. A lot of people think, you know, oh, I got all these guns, I got all this ammo, I got this and that in the safe. I go to the shooting range and plink a couple mags, you know, every couple months. That's good to an aspect of making sure you're accurate and stuff like that. But there's a whole other animal between going to the range and shooting a couple rounds every few months and actually doing high stress, live fire, firefight scenarios. And unless you start training like that, if a situation arises and there's rounds flying in every direction and you have multiple assailants that you're trying to engage, it's going to be very difficult for you mentally and physically to cope with that threat in an aggressive, adaptive form to be able to neutralize the subject. So So that's what a lot of people have to realize. So, I mean, it's very well said that. And, you know, a lot of stuff isn't that, it's not hard to do. Once you start doing it, you know, even if it's something like just, if you, say you're like, not that comfortable, you know, with firearms. Say I just want to start learning, you know, hand-to-hand combat. There's plenty of places that are local karate, local self-defense studios, classes. They have classes 2-3 nights a week you can go to. They can teach you basic jujitsu, shoot fighting, all types of stuff like that, to at least to the point where you can defend yourselves. It's not going to be as effective if somebody has a firearm, but at least be adequately prepared. This is the most just totally softest generation we've ever had, this millennial generation, because everybody's so wrapped up with their phones up their butt every day. They don't know how to function in society without having their phone with them, and they think the world is going to end if their phone's gone for 30 minutes. They don't even know how to cope with it, much less if something happens and they get in some type of active firefighter, active combat situation. And the problem is, we're making these kids with our stupid safe spaces with these idiotic liberal colleges and all this stuff now, the political correctness. If you say that, you're racist. If you say this, you're a homophobe, to the point where everybody gets offended if you even say a word that they don't agree with. It's nauseating to me. So now these kids are to the point now where they think they're going to go out in the real world and somebody's going to say, hey, I don't like the way you're acting, hillbilly. And they're going to go, oh my gosh, I'm offended. I can't, he called me a hillbilly. I'm going to go to a safe space now. And they're going to go, well, you know what? I'm going to pull a blade on you. I want your knife, your keys, and your cell phone now. And they're going to melt down. They're not even going to know how to react. This is what we cannot have growing into the next generation, or America is going to be just one soft, wet, limp sponge that won't be able to defend itself from anything internally. We can't allow that to happen. Take your kids, take your family, take your friends, teach them how to fight, teach them how to shoot safely, always in a safe manner. I'm one of the biggest proponents of gun safety. There's all types of things you need to learn from a basic standpoint, but once you get those basic safety standpoints down and teach them and make sure they're repetitively taught over and over and over again so people are safe with their firearms, then you can start being adaptive with the training and teaching them how to train and be more offensive in situations if it calls for it. But you're absolutely right, Dad. It's not like it is in the movies. I mean, it's cool. That's great. This is cool. That's Hollywood. But when it comes down to it, you better know what you're doing, or else you're going to get yourself killed, or you're going to get other people killed too.
Well, also, and I'm going to say one more thing. I'm going to change subjects. This is my pet peeve, and every instructor that we've had in our advanced training that we've taken, Austin, it's been their pet peeve too. And in fact, some training programs are so advanced that if you do this one time, they'll basically discharge you from that training program and give you a refund or send you home without a refund. You have to learn not to muzzle sweep people. Now, what does that mean? I don't care if your firearm is loaded or it's not loaded. You never point it at a living human being unless you're ready to do bodily harm to them. I mean, I have seen this so many times with my friends. They'll say, can I see your gun? I'm like, absolutely not. Every time I give you a gun, you muzzle sweep me, even if it's unloaded, and I'm not going to let you do that to me again. I had a guy come by the other day. I said that to him. I said, no, absolutely not. I said, I'm not going to do it. I said, you don't understand what that means. I said, I can't teach you what that means. Somebody needs to take you into training, start screaming in your face so you stop doing that crap. I said, you've got to quit muzzle sweeping people. The other day, you and I were taking an advance. It was shotgun, rifles, and pistol class down there in Okeechobee. Yep. And some old fart, excuse my language, shouldn't even been out there, about 75 years old. He's in his little fancy little hat and fancy little jacket and fancy little guns. And he had all the trappings of somebody who knew what they were doing, gets out there and starts muzzle sweeping the entire crowd with a 12-gauge shotgun. Now, this thing was probably loaded. I mean, just turning sideways and pointing at everybody. And I scream at him. I said, dude, what is wrong with you? Don't muzzle sweep us. And I went and told the instructor. I told the instructor, I said, dude, this guy needs somebody to take him out back and have a talk. I said, this guy can't keep doing this. Somebody's going to get hurt. It wasn't 30 minutes later, he does it again. And this time the instructor caught him, saw him, we turned him in again, and that was it. He sent him home. Guys, it isn't cool to have a gun pointed at you, whether it's loaded or not loaded. It's not okay. And you've got to be so careful when you take your training. And even if you never take training, remember what I said. If you pull a gun out and you know it's not loaded, don't hand it to somebody unless you open the cylinder if it's a revolver, or pull the magazine out and pull the slide back and lock it if it's an automatic. If it's the same thing with a shotgun, same thing with a rifle. Always double check. And when you take that gun from somebody, guys, don't believe they checked it right. You check it next to make sure it's not loaded. And never pointed at anybody. I'm talking, even if you know it's not loaded, Even if you know you've used, you just finished running a borescope down it, you still don't put aim it towards anybody. That's one of my big pet peeves. And so this is what's going to happen with it. If we ever have something happen in this country, we got a bunch of these yahoos out there that don't even know how to do this, and they're going to have shooting each other by accident. Guys, be very, very careful with that. Now, well, I want to change topics. This is in New York. This is the New York Times, which I don't like to quote this New York Times stuff, but I'm going to re-quote an article from them. 11-year-old became a pregnant. She's either pregnant when she was 11 or pregnant when she was 10. And then she was pushed to marry her rapist in Florida. Now, this is an article from the New York Times, May the 26th. When she was a scrawny 11-year-old, Sherry Johnson found out one day she was about to be married to a 20-year-old member of her church who had raped her. She'd become pregnant, she says. The child welfare authorities were investigating, so her family and church officials decided the simplest way to avoid a messy criminal case was to organize a wedding. Today, she is part of a nationwide movement to end child marriage in America. Meanwhile, children 16 and under are still being married in Florida at a rate of one every few days. In fact, more than 167,000 young people aged 17 and under are married in the United States, 38 states, between 2000 and 2010. Among the states with the highest rates of child marriages were Arkansas, Idaho, Kentucky, and Florida. Now, guys, I'm going to make a comment here with me. This is so important. Number one, you've got to know who your children are hanging out with. That's number one. Number two, you need to know who's taking care of these kids. That's number two. I just read a book the other day. It's called Racing with My Shadow, a lady who was one of our listeners today. She basically wrote the book and how she was basically a man started molesting her when she was 10 years old, who ended up marrying her mother, and then started committing statutory rape on her. I mean, the book is just so absolutely like, I can't believe this is happening, but it is. I mean, I was angry at the guy who was doing this, who was her quote unquote father, you know, her stepfather, and nothing ever happened to him, because when it all came out that he was doing this, she was 17 years old. It's a long story. Read the book. But what was interesting about this is we have to understand something. A 10-year-old is always innocent, period. That's it. That's it. We can't even try to put anything else on that. Now, but when you start getting girls that are 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, okay, who are wearing so much makeup, they look like they're in their mid-20s, and some guy's 18, 19, or 20 years old, he thinks they're either their age or a year or two younger than him. You gotta kind of feel sorry for these guys, that these guys are getting set up like this. Like the other day, you were talking about one of your friends, Austin, who was like 19, I think she was 15, and then basically their father found out about it. He got put in jail for statutory rape, and now he is a convicted child molester, and he will have that on his record for the rest of his life. Okay, so ladies, men, gentlemen, listen to me, please. Watch your daughters. A lot of these girls start looking at porn at a very, very young age now because they have unfettered access to iPads, iPods, etc., and they start looking at this stuff, and it messes with their heads. And they start thinking that these guys are going to love them if they start having sex with them, and vice versa. The guys are looking at porn. You got a bunch of pedophiles running around out there. We've got to take care of our children, and we've got to warn them that things like this happen. I remember I was a kid. There was a couple down the road. Their name was Jack and Janet Rising. They're both gone now. May they rest in peace. And I remember all of their daughters were like pregnant at 12, 13, and 14. All of them. I mean, every one of them. They all were pregnant and all getting married. And I thought to myself, this is crazy. How in the world can this happen? Hey, this is how it happens. Not enough monitoring of the kids. And, you know, and the sad part about all of this, guys, is this. Nobody ever expects it to happen. Nobody thinks it's going to happen. And it happens all of the time. So, guys, please, everybody stay aware with your children. Make sure you have them in public. And for heaven's sakes, know who is watching them. Ask questions to the children after another person watches them that you don't know, even a family member, to make sure the kids aren't being told not to say things. This is so, so important. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're very, very, very accurate on that. There's so many just weird people out there now, and with babysitters and all this weird stuff on the internet, you got to be very careful watching your kids. But you're very accurate about what you just said with that. If you have somebody watching your kids, or you have to be careful of this too. I've never really had much of an issue with this with Hunter, because usually we have family watching him and stuff like that, or we have a real close friend that we have watching him. But you always have to be careful as well with younger babysitters that are in college, because I've heard this happen numerous times, is they come over to the house and, you know, that you guys may go out 4, 5, 6 hours for the night. They're babysitting your kids. Well, while you're gone, they invite, you know, their boyfriend over, a guy they're talking to, somebody that you never even met, has never even been to your house, and now they're in your house hanging out for hours, and you don't know what they're going to be exposed to. You don't know what this guy's about, especially if you have younger, you know, mid kids, you know, that are 8, 9, 10, 12 years old. You got to be very careful about that. So know who's watching your kids, know what they're getting exposed to, and also make sure you know if they're getting internet access to stuff. Internet's a huge thing, as Dad just said. That does not, you know, no place in your house does there need to be open internet access to any of your kids, period. Absolutely not. That shouldn't even be a question going on in your house right now. It needs to be restricted, or it needs to be off, or it needs to be blocked. One of the three, but there's no reason you need to have just unadulterated access to internet in the house. Also, another story that's interesting is too right now, is that despite links to cancer now, the EU is proposing a new 10-year license renewal for glyphosate and Monsanto's Roundup. Remember, last year, the EU granted an 18-month extension of glyphosate's approval after a proposal for a full license renewal met opposition from member states. They said, listen, this stuff can only go on a little bit longer. We don't like it. The World Health Organization is saying it's carcinogenic. We're giving it 18 more months. Despite it strong opposition from environmental groups and a new study from the European Chemical Agency, they have now reopened the negotiations with Euro nations over renewing the license for glyphosate. In 2015, you remember, the European Food Safety concluded that glyphosate is unlikely to pose carcinogenic or mutagenic properties and has no toxic effect on fertility, reproduction, or embryonic development. Lie. Another giant lie. These guys get paid millions of dollars to spew for Monsanto. But Bart Staes, a Green Party group member of the EU Parliament, said it makes no sense at all to go ahead, you know, and block this compound glyphosate when we know it has no harm whatever. So they're seeking a 10-year approval for glyphosate now, which is unprecedented because Europe has actually been very good in a lot of aspects of standing strong against glyphosate and not allowing it to explode on the population like it has in the United States. But again, glyphosate rearing their ugly head, throwing millions of dollars in lobbyist groups, getting these guys paid off on the back burner or using blackmail, in my opinion at least. And now they're getting a 10-year extension, which means if this goes through next year, it'll be 2028 before they actually have to come up with a new license for glyphosate in Europe, Dad.
One of the things I didn't cover the other day when I was talking about this on our show, which I did on Hagmann's, is that glyphosate, in many cases, they have multiple studies. They'll do it one time, and then they skew the one studies. They stack the one studies by, like, putting animals that have cancer in the study so that the control group basically ends up with cancer. So the kids, the animals that are basically being given the glyphosate end up with cancer, but it looks like there's no statistical anomaly there, that they're all coming down with cancer. Now, also what they do is sometimes they'll have to have multiple other studies in which they combine the data of all the studies to skew the data enough to make it neutral. In fact, one study showed that one article that I sent out just the other day, it said that they were up to 9 studies had to be used to make the one study not toxic. 9! 9 bogus studies had to be thrown in to try to make the data, which was so absolutely horrific from a statistical standpoint, not toxic. So guys, this is some filthy, nasty stuff. And remember this, and you only hear it on this show, the Sanitae and Kambalists are the ones, the Rothschild, basically, group, allowed Bayer to buy Monsanto, which tells me that they have controlling interest in all of these major corporations, including Bayer and Monsanto, and they're basically using these as a way to destroy the planet. They're using them as a way to reduce fertility, and they're using them as a way to basically cull the population. This is what they're doing. So guys, this is what's happening right now. So stay awake, stay frosty, and avoid all of this. By the way, an aerospace executive, according to Huffington's Post, absolutely convinced there are aliens on the planet. Now here's why I say this. You need to be absolutely convinced that there are aliens on the planet too. We call them angels and demons. Okay, that's what they are. Now, you can't say the Bible doesn't talk about it. It talks about them all the time. All of a sudden, these angels just pop up out of nowhere and start walking through doors and talking to people and glowing like they have a light bulb over their head and all these other crazy things that are happening. These are not human beings. These are other entities that are on this planet. So, for us to say as Christians, I don't believe in aliens. Well, why don't you rename it and call them angels and demons? Because if this stuff ever gets fully disclosed and we find out about this stuff and we've got ourselves mindset that this doesn't exist, it's going to really affect us. So don't allow it to do that. Say, yeah, I knew about that long ago. The Bible talked about the aliens a long time ago. So yeah, whatever, man. Who cares? But here's what this guy says. This is a very wealthy man. He did an eye-opening interview on 60 Minutes Sunday night. He is absolutely convinced. He's like a billionaire, Robert Bigelow. He said he's absolutely convinced that there were alien visitors on Earth now. Most of the segment focused on how NASA and the Las Vegas-based Bigelow Aerospace are in partnerships to develop an expandable craft for humans to use in space. However, during the 60 Minutes interview with correspondent Laura Logan, the conversation shifted Bigelow's reported obsession with UFOs and aliens. Logan, do you believe in aliens? Bigelow, I'm absolutely convinced. This guy's a billionaire, and he's in this field. Because that's all about there is that's all there is to it, Logan. Do you believe also that UFOs have come to the Earth? Bigelow, there has been and is an existing presence. Right now, he says this, on 60 Minutes, an ET presence. And I have spent millions and millions of dollars. I probably spent more as an individual than anybody else in the United States has ever spent on this subject. Bigelow wouldn't elaborate on what kind of results he had achieved from the well-funded UFOs research. When asked if he thought future space missions could result in any encounters between humans and aliens, he said, you don't have to go anywhere. It's just like right under people's noses. So guys, this guy's an aerospace billionaire executive who's now doing that. That's on 60 Minutes. This is what you would call a soft disclosure. That's what this was. For them to allow this to go out and all the people to watch 60 Minutes, for this guy to say, absolutely yes, they're already here. We already have this disclosure. He just gave a soft disclosure. It's not like the government came out and said it, but guys, they're getting ready to let us know that we're not alone, which of course we as Christians have known for eons of time. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right about that. There's no question that there's a lot of other stuff out there that we don't know or have any idea about. I think a lot of this is going to come in as far as with the fallen angels and the Antichrist and bringing
right.
the New World Order and the One World Government. I think once you start seeing the big picture, all this stuff is going to start coming together to be one very crystal clear demonic picture that's not going to be very fun. And I think the alien agenda, the Nephilim agenda, whatever you want to call it, I think it's been suppressed for a very long time. And they're trying to slowly let it out. That's why, in my opinion, they've done so many movies on alien invasions. I mean, how many movies, how many different ways can you have an alien invasion? At least once or twice a year, we have a new movie come out about some type of alien or alien invasion or an alien being on the planet all the time. I mean, all the time, every single year from Hollywood. Well, from a subconscious standpoint, that's slowly setting up the psyche to accept that. If the United States population and the world population never saw a movie about aliens, never saw Independence Day or any of these wild movies, and all of a sudden they bring these guys in with the Nephilim and whatever else they're doing, everybody's going to go, what the heck is that? Put the 50 on it, boy. Drop that thing. I don't know what that is. Take it down. If we're all accepted to it and we see it and we're, oh, that's nice, and they bring it in and this, oh, no, this is what we need to do. This is who it is. This is what you need to believe in now. It's going to be very, very strange. Also, too, in other news, with the Air Force, even though President Donald Trump's budget proposal massively raised the military spending, the U.S. Air Force now is asking Congress for another $11 billion for fighter jets, tankers, and laser weapons. This is one of those things that we've talked about before. The level of military and weapons that we have is unprecedented. I mean, we spent billions and billions, trillions of dollars in a lot of these programs, and the way they've done it very effectively is they've funneled a lot of this money through the military, through the military-industrial complex. I mean, if the U.S. Air Force is so concerned about getting money, why don't we look at and figure out why we lost over just $1 billion in small arm weapons to Iraq that can't be accounted for now, that went over to ISIS, as was released a couple weeks ago. All this stuff is insane to me. These guys act like this is funny money. They just print it up out of thin air. It has no redeemable value. Oh, wait. That's what the Federal Reserve does. It doesn't have any redeemable value. So, yeah, that's what they keep doing. But in my opinion, take this $10, $11 billion that they're requesting, funnel it back into the economy via tactical training, via Patriot Alliance, via weapons training, and start teaching the American populace how to be a self-sufficient militia and handle itself on its own and not need the military to handle all of its endeavors on a regular basis. The military is only supposed to be there when the states cannot handle a certain crisis or certain war on their own. They all come together and the military fights in unison on behalf as the United States military. We don't need this massive overreaching military expenditure that we invade and sit in every single country on this giant planet and just perch there on a lily pad and spend billions and billions of dollars funneling more weapons, more tools, more airplanes all over the world just to sit there and dump it in a black hole and say, we need more now. We need $11 billion for the Air Force. It's completely out of line. Once you start doing your research on it, you realize Ron Paul has been unbelievably accurate when it has come to military spending and the Federal Reserve, Dad.
You're absolutely right. I read an article, I remember years ago when we invaded Iraq, they were talking about how the United States military was spending almost $300 a gallon for jet fuel. Now, you heard that right. $300 a gallon for jet fuel. Remember, they're making jet fuel over there in Saudi Arabia, okay? They're making jet fuel over there in, you know, all these different countries. And, you know, you think to yourself, why is that happening? Well, here's what they do. They have some super inflated price for a hammer or jet fuel for a gallon of jet fuel, and they basically throw that money into the black ops. It just goes through like a funnel. This is how they've lost $10 trillion. $10 trillion unaccounted for. $10 trillion. Half the debt of the United States, if you believe the numbers, because it's much higher than $10-20 trillion. Half the admitted debt is in black ops gone through the U.S. military. I mean, I'd make these boys tighten it down a lot, but of course they don't want to make them tighten it down a lot because Austin, the CIA is running the military and the Sabbatean Kabbalists are running the CIA through their wizardry and their druidic worship and all the weird stuff these guys do. Oh, by the way, Donald Trump has now exempted 17 senior White House staff, including Steve Bannon, from ethics rules. This is just real special. The White House disclosed Wednesday evening that it had granted ethics waivers. I mean, how do you get an ethics waiver? You're not allowed, now you can do bad things and it's okay? Had granted ethics waivers to 17 appointees who work for President Trump and Michael Pence, including four former lobbyists. The waivers exempted the appointees from certain portions of ethics rules aimed at barring political conflicts of interest. In addition, a blanket waiver was given to all executive office appointees to interact with news organizations, and three of the former lobbyists given waivers to work in the White House serve as staffers to the National Economic Council, headed by the Goldman Sachs executive Gary Cohn. I mean, this is nuts. His aides that received ethics exemptions included Michael Catanzaro, a domestic energy and environmental policy advisor, who also was granted permission to work on matters of interest to his former energy sector clients, including emissions regulations, clean air standards, and renewable fuel standards. Now he has no ethics regulations. And Shahir Knight, a White House advisor on tax and retirement policy, received a waiver to participate in a range of tax and financial policy matters. I mean, this is not boding well for us with Trump, with all this nonsense that he's doing. And don't get me wrong, I like the Donald. I mean, he's got a choleric, sanguine personality. Yeah, I like his personality. A lot of people don't. But guys, there's a certain point here. When you want to drain the swamp, you can't facilitate the creatures of the swamp to do what they need to do that aren't being done correctly and being done without ethics rules. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. That's why a lot of this stuff has gotten out of hand, and the ethics, the corruption, everything up there. Like you said, with draining the swamp, man, a lot of this stuff needs to be taken out. A lot of these guys need to be completely booted out. The problem is a lot of them are so ingrained up there, and there's so much corruption that it's very, very difficult to get a lot of them out. My biggest thing that I would like to see done is Gutley be removed of the FDA. That was one of my biggest, absolute biggest pet peeves that Trump allowed to have happen up there. A lot of other stuff we can work around, a lot of other stuff we can get past, but putting one of the chief chairmen or prior chairmen of GlaxoSmithKline as the head of the FDA, dude, that right there made absolutely no sense to me whatsoever, especially in that position with the FDA. So I really hope we can get some more stuff rolling in the right direction up there. Also, too, Germany now, as Sweden has seen over the years, is starting to have a surge in stabbings and knife crimes that have been unprecedented in recent history in Europe now. a Syrian migrant recently was stabbed to death in Norman, Germany by another Syrian because he was eating ice cream during Ramada. The murder, which occurred in broad daylight in the middle of the afternoon in a busy pedestrian shopping area in Oldenburg, caused a great ruckus among local citizens. Now, what's happening now is they're not just attacking local Germans and raping them now. Now, as we have seen throughout history with all of these stinking Sharia law Muslims, now they're starting to fight one another about following Sharia law. So that way, if one of their fellow Syrian refugee Muslims is not following Sharia law, they walk up and they start knifing him to death at 12 o'clock in the afternoon on a busy street while he's eating ice cream. This is where these guys always go every single time. That's why they live in a stinking sandbox. Not trying to be disrespectful, not trying to be mean, guys, but this is exactly what we have seen them do for thousands of years, over and over and over again, and now we have integrated them into one of the most upper class, one of the most successful high-end countries in Europe, all over Europe, now with everything, Italy, Spain, Germany, all of them now, and we're telling them they need to behave and they need to calm themselves down. They said here, knives, axes, and machetes have now become the weapons of choice for criminals in Germany, which has some of the strictest gun laws in Europe. A search of German police blotters show that during the past 10 years, the number of knife-related crimes in Germany has increased by more than 1,200%. Over 4,000 such crimes with some type of weapon as far as a knife or machete was reported in 2016. And 2007, 9 years before that, there was right at 300 of those in the entire year. Now last year, there are over 4,000. The surge in knife-related violence in Germany does go together right in coincidence with the migrants coming in. You can even pull the numbers closer, and there were right at 500 knife or machete killings in Germany in 2013 compared to 4,000, over 4,000 in 2016. So it's jumped by 600% in the past 4 years now over in Europe, Dad. That is not coincidence at all.
No, it's not. But I need to say, Gottlieb was not the head of GlaxoSmithKline. He was one of the top people in product development when he was there.
Yes.
So that's we need to make sure we qualify that. And you're right about the Muslims. Ever since they got started, I think it was 700 or 800 A.D. These guys have always been these warrior people that basically like to kill each other with the Shiites fighting the Sunnis. And you're right. So as soon as that law comes in, that Sharia law, they get to a point where you have these ones that are extremely zealous about that. They like to try to force all the rest of them to the point of a knife blade if they don't listen. So that's some crazy stuff. By the way, here's an article from The Guardian, and it says, is raw milk a superfood or super risky? The vast majority of milk we drink is pasteurized, heat-treated to kill harmful pathogens. Raw milk, on the other hand, goes straight from udder to bottle. Fans call it milk as nature intended, nutrient-rich, and full of probiotics, the good kind of bacteria. Some fans go further in calling it a superfood. This is raw milk that's organically raised, that aids digestion, boosts the immune system, and treats asthma, eczema, and allergies. Due to concerns about safety, retail sales of milk are prohibited in about 20 states. Something called a herd share scheme lets people buy an interest or in a group of dairy cows. As part owner, you're entitled to what your cow produces. It's difficult for the state to say you can't drink the milk from cows you own. In the U.S., the U.S. government estimates that 3.2% of people are now drink raw milk. Now, 3.2% of 300 million is around 10 million people drinking raw milk. Now, I'm going to give you some numbers so you guys got to stay with me. About 10 million people drink raw milk on a regular basis. But pasteurization is the norm for a reason, they say. It's highly effective at killing things as E. coli, Salmonella, and Listeria. Raw milk, on the other hand, relies heavily on the skill of the farmer. This is true, and the cleanliness of the operation and the cleanliness of the udders and lack of infection in the cows. I'm adding that. Now, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that raw milk illnesses have spiked as more people drink milk. Listen to this. This is going to blow your mind. Between 2009 and 2014, raw milk and cheese have caused the vast majority, 96% of the illnesses linked to contaminated dairy products. Now, you think, wow, that's a lot of people, 96% over a 5-year period with 10 million people drinking the milk. So I pulled up the article, which they quoted, and it's from the volume 23, number 6, June 2017, and it's called Emerging for Sex. It's from the CDC, and it says outbreak of related disease burden associated with consumption of milk from 2009 to 2014. Now, remember, 10 million people are drinking this stuff, and they've had around 760 illnesses per year. That's it.
Yeah.
No deaths, okay? No deaths. Okay, 10 million, that's like what? Was that 1/100th or 1/10th of 1%? That's it? What about all the 99.999 other people that were all healthy drinking this milk? Guys, this is the kind of garbage that they print, and they want to make you scared. As long as you know your dairy, and I'm not suggesting you drink raw milk. You can do whatever you want. This is your choice. We live in America. If it's legal in your state, do what you need to do. But here's the thing. We have 10 million people drinking it, and about 700 people per year may or may not get sick. And then they say, listen to this. Then they say that includes non-pasteurized cheese and not just dairy products. And they're saying that the cheese could probably be the primary cause. Okay, that's just out of the 760. And then here's what they say. We estimate the outbreak-related illness and hospitalizations caused by the consumption of cow's milk and cheese contaminated with the Shiga toxin producing from the cheese using an underlying model on publicly available on outbreak data in the United States. So here's what they're saying. They could say that the vast majority of this, out of the 760 people, there were probably 750 who got it from the cheese. They're not verifying which is which. They're not saying that. And so we have 10 people in a year out of 10 million who get this. This is complete and total just horrible, horrible journalism. I know I've drunk raw milk for years. I don't drink it much anymore because of the calorie content. I personally consider it a superfood. We had a guy named Glenn who owned a company called Golden Fleece Dairy who produced raw cow's milk and raw goat's milk for pet food use only that was sold in health food stores throughout Central Florida. And Glenn died several years ago. May he rest in peace. And for years and years and years, I was able to use that type of product for myself personally to stay super healthy with. So guys, do what you want to do, but don't believe all of this nonsense, but also be very careful and make sure if you're going to buy raw milk and you're going to drink it or you're going to use it for pet food consumption only, whatever you want to use it for, make sure that it's raised from non-GMO food sources, which means you're not going to be putting a bunch of corn into the feed with toxins associated with the corn. Make sure it's organic. That's so important. And make sure you know the dairy. Make sure the udders are clean. Make sure the machines they use to milk the cows with are clean. Make sure they haven't had any reported outbreaks. As far as I'm concerned, it's about as healthy as it gets. Also, what do you think?
Yeah, no, that's definitely a really, really good advice there with that. I mean, the issue that it comes into with that everybody has to look at from a logical standpoint is that the United States government could care less about your health. They're not worried about if people get sick. They're not worried about if people die. If that was the case, they would be much, much, much stricter about allowing things to go on the market with the FDA. I'm getting a ton of feedback, Dad.
Okay, I'll put...
Okay. That's exactly the case. If they cared about all this stuff, they still wouldn't allow the mass tobacco use and everything else. To my opinion, I don't care about a lot of it. You're going to do what you want to do. I'll tell you what's going to happen if you start doing it. May or may not happen. I'm going to tell you my opinion on it. Everybody has free will. I have a very libertarian approach on a lot of this stuff. If you want to do it and you know the consequences, you're an adult age and you want to do it, not my problem. Milk is a whole other thing because it has so many good health benefits when it's raw, and the pasteurized, homogenized crap has so many negative side effects to it that them trying to force people not to drink raw milk and try to only drink pasteurized, homogenized milk just goes to show you that the agenda is more clearly based on trying to make sure that people stay sicker, and it feeds the medical industrial complex and the cancer industry to continue to bring in more money through the hospitals, through the insurance, through the pharmaceuticals. All that stuff starts tying together when you look at it from that standpoint. Also, too, this is a interesting thing from, actually, I talked about this last year, but now recently the Electronic Frontier Foundation has announced they'll be filing suit against the FBI because they believe that they used Best Buy's Geek Squad employees to search innocent people's computers without a warrant. And this is accurate. This happened about a year, year and a half ago, where it came out and they found that they were actually training Geek Squad employees to engage in searches of people's devices without a warrant. One of the key issues EFF hopes to gain is a better understanding as of what point does a Geek Squad member search turn into a warrantless government search, which is basically a blatant violation of the Fourth Amendment. If you guys know anything about the Geek Squad from Best Buy, what they are is a group they hire, and they go out and make out calls as far as fix stuff. So if your computer's broke, they come over your house, they fix it, they leave. What they started doing is they started contacting these guys, and they started saying, hey, we'll give you $500, we'll give you $1,000 if you can give us any information on such and such's home on his computer. So these guys would go in, and they would just go in and fix the computer. They would go in and download a full search web history and anything else pertinent on the computer, and then turn around and save it if there's anything pertinent and hand it over to the FBI. Then the FBI tried to say, that's not unconstitutional. It doesn't violate the Fourth Amendment because technically you let the Geek Squad into your house to fix your computer, so it was not searched. The whole aspect about that is completely, it boggles my mind that they think that's okay, that they can pay somebody as an informant to search you when they're on the job fixing something for you and then go back and snitch on you. The whole thing just reeks of a complete and total totalitarian police state where everybody's a snitch, snitch on this person, snitch on that person for money. Everybody just gives up everyone's rights for money. But I like this, though, now that they're filing a suit on FBI. Highly doubt this EFF suit will go anywhere on the FBI at all, but at least it shows them that they're trying to basically tighten the FBI up a little bit from this nonsense, Dad.
Well, it's just going to get worse. Look what just happened with Homeland Security. Ex-Stasi spy chief Marcus Wolf, this is from East German Stasi, has now been hired by our Homeland Security. I mean, political analyst Al Martin, who has in the past proven accurate in getting ahead of the news curve, is reporting that Homeland Security, they have hired former Stasi head, the Silver Fox, Marcus Wolf. Martin states, Wolf is the man that effectively built the East German State Intelligence Operations Internal Directorate. Martin continues, he turned half the population of East Germany into informants and snitches. That is his specialty in taking a population, constructing the various state divisions, mechanisms of control, in order to organize informants within the population. This is his real specialty, and that is precisely as Primakov has intimated. That's why Wolf is being brought in. The regime knows that once all of the Patriot II law is in effect, they'll begin working on Patriot 3. They will then begin to establish the internal mechanism to coordinate, as an unofficial function of the state, a system of informants. Wolf's specialty was to turn East Germany into the greatest and most efficient informant state ever created. On a radio appearance earlier today, Martin stated that the admission that Wolf would be hired was made in a BBC radio interview given by the former head of the KGB, General Primakov. Martin had previously reported Primakov had been hired as a consultant by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security to implement CAPS II and the National ID card system, which he dubbed an internal passport. Sources close to Martin have confidentially said that the appointment of Wolf was also confirmed by a U.S. congressman. I mean, guys, I've got to say this, and I've said this. You know, one person said to me the other day, well, said, well, sometimes you guys say the same things but in different ways. You know, some things have to be said over and over again. We just hired in the Department of Homeland Security the head of Stasi of East Germany, the most corrupt organization with political informants and population informants ever created in the history of the world, to come in now and do the same thing to turn the entire United States population into snitches. If any part of what I just read you is okay, I need to read it again to you. None of this is okay. We all hate tattletales. We hate them. I mean, I remember in school we had tattletales. Everybody loathed tattletales. I mean, you know, if you tattled, and you have people never talk to you with a tattletale, you get them. Never. And we don't want to deal with all that. Guys, we have freedom of speech. We have freedom left in this country. When they passed the Patriot Act back in 2001 with blithering idiot George W., I knew at that point, I was ranting, railing. Austin remembers, he was a young guy, and I said, I cannot believe we've done this. We're heading towards a political state of East Germany. We're heading towards the secret intelligence people. We're heading towards the Stasi. And that's exactly now, 16, 17 years later, where we are. Guys, this was all planned. They're taking the template that was used in communist East Germany. They're implementing it in the United States with the head guy who did it. So he knows exactly how to lay out it and format it. So guys, this is where it's going. Write your congressman. Tell him,
this is not okay. We don't want this guy. And it's like, again, remember, the Sabbatean Kabbalists that are running the entire planet through their Babylonian money magic are orchestrating all of this to turn us into a slave world. It's like Alex Jones' little prison planet. It's going to be it's a prison slave planet, Earth, in which everybody's marked, everybody's got a chip, everybody's been impregnated with smart dust, and everybody's constantly being monitored via the smart grid as what they're doing and what their emotional states are. This is where it's going, and I'm not okay with it, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. That's exactly where it's going with this, is they want to build a total snitch state. I mean, that's why I talked about yesterday with the smart cars. The guy blatantly comes out, I had the article yesterday, how they're going to use the smart cars to spy on other cars. And that way he says if there's a Amber Alert, that the smart car is going to be able to find the tag very quickly and relay it back. That's where all this is headed on here. And the whole mainstream media is pushing this on every aspect because they want us to believe the mainstream narrative. Also, too, I thought this was funny. I saw this yesterday. I saw some of the photos as well. The so-called mainstream media has been, again, caught producing content that's specifically tailored to their political narrative. Both CNN and the Associated Press were caught staging a protest involving alleged anti-ISIS Muslims in Britain on the heels of the Islamic terrorist attack over the last couple weeks. This is one, again, they reported in the National Sentinel. There's screenshots of a video produced by bystanders and suspicious British media figures and shared on social media clearly showed that the so-called protest by a small handful of non-radicalized Muslims was an attempt to support the narrative that not all Muslims are violent and evil, which not all of them are, just a huge percentage of them. Both CNN and AP were seen using the same small group of Muslims, and in each instance were billing the protest as separate and spontaneous in both videos. It was great. I watched it. It was hilarious. The exact same ones, and they had them zoomed in so it made, you know, the group look like it was a lot bigger than it was. You see the screenshots. It's in a shut-down street. They have it cordoned off. They have a group of about 15, 20 Muslims with their, you know, the women with their little headscarves on, the dudes with their little hats on, with all these, you know, signs they're holding up, and they tried to make it look like it was a blatant, separate, spontaneous protest. A closer examination of the videos and the photos show all the people involved are in the same, and nothing about it is a protest whatsoever. It's fully staged. Whenever the cameras roll off, they're all just standing there looking at each other, taking notes, taking orders from somebody, telling them to move here and move there. So I thought that was pretty funny because this happened so many times with the mainstream media where they set up these fake narratives that they want everybody to believe, and a lot of people go for it. A lot of people do, but this shows you exactly what they're trying to do is pose that majority of Muslims are nice and don't want to do anything bad when a large case of these ones coming into the country are involved in nothing but just nonsense.
No, you're absolutely right. Now, what's interesting about this is, and Austin said it, not all Muslims are bad. He's absolutely right. And the problem is that, you know, even if you have a percentage of them, let's say 5% of the overall Muslim population's got some issues. Okay? That's bad. The problem is, if you import that 5% into your country, you got a real problem, Austin. I mean, yeah. If you bring in a million of them that are real bad and they basically are cleaning out the coffers of the bad ones where they came from, this is about coming in and destroying the great Satan. Remember, that's the Ayatollah Khomeini called the United States the great Satan. And you know, don't get me wrong, guys. I mean, as long as we're being completely controlled by these, now it's going to be the Stasi and the Sabbateans and all of these things. I mean, there's not a whole lot of redeeming stuff going on here as far as what the upper level management is trying to do to the United States. We got that. But guys, here's the thing. There are a lot of us right now. I mean, a lot. We have a huge audience listening to this show right now. There's huge audiences listening to alternative radio all over the world right now. There's a remnant of us. There's a bunch of us that aren't going to fall for this nonsense, and we're not going to allow this to happen to us or to our families, and we're going to fight this every step of the way because we're unwilling to accept the compromise. It's like accepting the mark of the beast. I mean, I'm not going to accept the mark of the beast. If they're going to give me the mark of the beast, they're going to do it against my will, and it won't affect me because that's not how Satan works. He wants you to accept it willingly.
So that's what I'm talking about with the Old Testament and the New Testament. God gives us freedom of will. So guys, it's so important that we all realize that we have to think about what we're involved in, think about who we're associating with, and if they want you to start narking your neighbor, does that sound right? I guess that's where they're heading to it. They want you to start tattling on your neighbor. That's not cool, dude. Just don't be doing stuff like that. That's enough of the day. I'm going to go ahead and write the summary today, Austin. A lot of news today. I covered a lot of stuff with you guys. So guys, thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for supporting this broadcast. Thank you for us not turning this thing into an infomercial. Gosh, I'm not going to do that, guys. I won't do it. God's will done God's way never lacks God's support. You know, Yahweh is always there. Our footsteps are ordered by the Lord is what the Bible says. And guys, we have to understand that. We have to be led by the Holy Spirit, led by Yeshua, led by Holy Spirit, led by Yahweh. All of these things are so important in all of our lives. So thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for getting your B vitamins from us. Thank you for doing whatever you can. Many of you actually put a donation on for the cost of the show on the end of your invoices. Thank you. I appreciate you guys doing that. We love you guys. And I'm so glad you're here and we're all in this together. Thank you so much. God bless you, Austin. I'll write the summary. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Awesome, bud. Absolutely. No, we definitely appreciate all the support we get from you guys. I mean, as I've told you guys this numerous times, and as you guys know, our regular listeners know, we don't do commercials on here. We don't do breaks. We don't do a bunch of different ads on our website. We don't have pop-ups and all types of clustered shenanigans all over the website. We just don't do that. I told them when we did this show we weren't going to do that. So the only way we're doing a radio show is if it's 100% controlled and sponsored by Health Masters, which is us, and nobody else has any say in what we talk about, what we promote, what we bring up, anything. Nobody can hold it over our head and say, we're going to pull your advertiser, we're going to pull your $2,000-$3,000 a month sponsor away if you talk about this again. Don't want to deal with that, have not had to deal with that, nor will we ever deal with that, God willing. So we appreciate all the support you give us, guys. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for all the kind emails. They've been great, getting a lot of them in. Also, too, the product of the week changed today because it's Wednesday, and if you guys checked it out, the probiotic 100 billion won again. It was actually just the winner like 3 or 4 weeks ago. This has been turning into a very, very popular product. It's our 100 billion probiotic formula, which is 100 billion CFUs, which stands for colony forming units, multiple strands, I think 3 or 4 different probiotic strands in this formula. Great product for overall bowel health. Very, very important to take if you've been on antibiotics anytime recently or you still are taking antibiotics. This really helps the gastrointestinal health a lot. On sale for over 10% off on the website at healthmasters.com. So check that out and then check out all the other products that we listed on there to vote on. A lot of good products this week. Really should be a good time. And as I said before, guys, if you need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. Or call us 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.